Jesus said, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, I'm sure we have all said things that have been misinterpreted. And sometimes we say things that we know are wrong as soon as they clear our lips. We do talk all the time, often to strangers, so it's not hard to believe that we might say something inappropriate or that we might learn the adverse effects of our words on others. I know this has happened to me, and when it does, I try to determine the best way forward in rebuilding a relationship of respect. But I'm not perfect in doing this, as some of you will attest. Now, there are some who continue to say things thinking that they are above other people, and thinking that their wants are more important than anybody else's, or have no clue that their words are offensive or hurtful. I'm guessing that you know someone like this. Now, I preached about the power of words in a sermon in August of 2015, and I will be posting that online with this sermon, so I hope that you will look back at that, particularly in lieu of some current events. But I want to look at today's gospel, where Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." Now, Jesus said these words 2,000 years ago, and they were recorded by Luke in the gospel after his death. And ever since, people have wondered why their faith has not been enough to smooth out the tragedies of human existence. I mean, if faith had made this leper well, why doesn't our faith heal us of cancer or Alzheimer's or diabetes? I mean, how much faith does this Samaritan have that I don't have myself? I mean, he was only a Samaritan, as this reading tells us. I mean, in Jesus' time, Samaritans were the lowest of the low on the social ladder. Didn't Jesus say something about only needing faith the size of a mustard seed? We heard that in the past couple of weeks. If this person's faith made him well, why do any of us suffer from hardship or disease or broken relationships? And because Jesus' words were written down in a different time, and Jesus wasn't there to clear up the misinterpretation that happens when we hear his words at the end of a gospel lesson, it's really important to look at the context of this passage of Scripture. First, the leper who returned to speak to Jesus was not the only one healed. I mean, there were 9 who left the scene, also clean, who continued toward the priests in order to get clearance to re-enter society. That's what the priests were in charge of back then. And as far as we know, all of them were healed, but didn't have any change in their faith life. So did their faith make them well too? So what might Jesus have meant? I believe it has something to do with gratitude. What do I mean by that? Now, gratitude actually takes practice. I mean, C.S. Lewis, the renowned author, says that gratitude, or praise, almost seems to be inner health made audible. Gratitude requires us to let go of control and self-focus and acknowledge that our goodness and wellness requires a relationship with others. And that relationship is God. It is the Spirit that unites us in a mutually dependent association. And that is difficult in a world that continues to shift toward an understanding that each person is responsible only for him or herself, and that we concede the responsibility to make the world a better place to other people. Because in that kind of world, gratitude doesn't seem necessary, because our individual needs, our individual wants, our individual desires are greater than what is good for the whole. So when Jesus told the Samaritan that his faith, his acknowledgement of interconnectedness, made him whole or complete or well, that was proclaiming that gratitude was essential to health and salvation. Early Christians understood the power of gratitude when they built into their rule of life regular worship, Sunday worship. I mean, all the major world religions do something like this because there is value in coming and worshiping. Worship is an expression of gratitude to God for our blessings. We sing, We pray, we read God's word, we share the communal dinner that unites us as one. But the question is, does God need our gratitude and prayers? No. We need to express that gratitude, and we need to unite in community in order to live fully into God's spirit-filled world. It's what makes us well. When Jesus says to the one who came to say thank you, "Your faith has made you well," he wasn't talking about physical healing. I mean, the alleviation of the leprosy was already done. Jesus was talking about his soul. Because that is what gratitude and praise heal. And that is the faith that he was talking about. If we are going to learn something about being made well, we should practice acts of gratitude. We should acknowledge the people who help make our lives better. Are they here? Let them know. Show your gratitude to somebody that's around you right now. Because if we realize the power of worship and gratitude to feed our soul and make us well, we can do amazing things. I mean, Jesus healed all 10 lepers, but only one made the choice to praise to make his soul healthy. And that is a choice that we can make. We can all make that choice. We can choose to be made well if we accept the attitude of gratitude. When we practice it regularly, when it is ingrained on who we are, it will transform our life. So our faith continues to make us well.